And this is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life.
Wow.
We went up there and I wanted to stay there.
Julian's voice raised 3 pitches that day.
Who knew?
It's good to be back as we wrap up our holiday week here on The Positive Mind. I want to wish everyone out there a Merry Christmas, and we're going to be talking today about the phenomenon of the holidays once again, because it is such a powerful cultural thing, and it is something that whether, you know, whichever holiday you observe, or whether you even don't observe holidays at all, it's something that we're all confronted with. And this time of year especially, it can become a great struggle for a lot of people to be alone and to be without friends and family. Well,
yeah, absolutely. And yesterday we were talking about being human. And we had a lot of really great callers calling in. And thank you again to all those who shared with us what they felt about the topic. But being human, kind of what it is to, it makes us different from animals, and what part we have in nature and where we're going as a human race. There's a lot to talk about. I'm sure we're going to have more to talk about on that topic sometime soon in the near future. But going from that topic to today's and kind of narrowing down on what it is to be a human being in the holiday season, in this this Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's time, is an interesting thing too, and that's what we want to talk about. And we talked a little bit about doing what you want on holidays. After Thanksgiving, we had a show where we talked about what it would be like to be alone, or you know, we had a caller who went to a pub with his nephew and niece, I think.
Yeah.
And just let us know what that's like, instead of just doing the typical habitual kind of Thanksgiving dinner or for Christmas. What do you do every year? You know,
I think there's a sort of a human panic that's very natural for many of us that sets in when we realize that the normal schedule and the normal order of things is disrupted, right, at this time of year. Many businesses are closing early, closing entirely. People are traveling. People are moving around the region, moving around the country to be with family and loved ones. And for those out there who don't have that opportunity and that ability, it's kind of a very difficult thing to deal with mentally and emotionally. And that's why we wanted to get more in-depth with this today and talk about what it is and what it's like to be alone on the holidays and how that affects people and how people cope with that. You know, I think that a big one is the fear of being single at this time of year. And I think that, you know, that's internalized because of a lot of sort of the cultural notion of togetherness and, you know, celebration. And whether it's, you know, the holiday season, the holidays, or, you know, a more kind of secular cultural holiday like New Year's, there is a fear of being alone at this time of year.
Yeah, and being alone, I mean, it could be being single, it could be perhaps you are living in another state than your family is living, or another country. Perhaps you've decided to go off on your own, and you're, you know, spending your Christmas in Italy, or you're spending your Christmas in Maine, or who knows, wherever you
yeah,
are.
Maybe you just can't afford to make it back and be with family and friends.
So what happens then? What happens when, you know, you end up and it's Christmas Day and you celebrate Christmas, or it's Hanukkah time, or you know, New Year's comes along. What do you do?
It's a very good question, right? And you know, as always, Julian and I, you know, we learned so much, and we worked, you know, so well with Armand, and we're so grateful for having had that opportunity. We often go back and see what Armand had to say about various topics. And, you know, we still look to Armand for guidance in many ways. And we wanted to share with you a little piece of Armand talking about this very topic, what it's like being alone on the holidays. So we'd love to let you have a listen to that right now. and we'll come back, and later on in the program we'll be taking your calls. We'd love to hear from people out there who will be spending these holidays alone, or, you know, who want to talk about holidays they've spent in the past alone.
Right, maybe what was that like? What did you end up doing? Anyways, let's play this piece.
Here it goes.
Hey, you know, the holidays are upon us once again, and for many it's a time of year where they spend it alone. There are many reasons this occurs, whether it's because we can't afford to go home or we have no home to travel to. Sometimes we just find ourselves alone for the holidays. I remember when we used to broadcast on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and because everybody else was away, I would come to the station and broadcast. And I've been alone for Thanksgiving. I've been alone for Christmas. Sure, it's easy to fall into a funk and begin to feel sorry for yourself and your situation. Sometimes it's by choice, and other times it isn't. In any case, when you're alone for Thanksgiving, you try to find a way to make the most of your situation and look at it with a very short-term perspective. I may be alone this year, but who knows what'll happen by next year. The worst-case scenario about all of these holidays, including New Year's, especially New Year's, is, remember, you could always go to sleep, and tomorrow the day will be over. For a lot of people, that's exactly what they do. New Year's Eve, close the ears, shut the doors, they don't want to be a part of it. January 2nd is a reprieve. It's also great, a great time to do something completely different and go outside of your comfort zone or shell of security. If you've never volunteered at a food bank or kitchen, give it a try. Gather together a few fellow co-workers or friends you think are going to be alone for the holidays and throw your own little holiday potluck dinner, or maybe gather your friends and say, let's go. Sir, but of course, if you don't have any friends, there are so many places that would welcome you and welcome your help. One year, when I was alone for the holidays, I spent a day helping out a local food bank. It wasn't something I ordinarily do, but I'm always a little nervous going into a situation that I've never been before. But it was great. It was great. And a young man the other day, he was 17, asked me, what could he do on the holidays to make it different? And I said, volunteer your time and see what that's like. It helps you take your mind off the problems that you have of the day. It makes you feel like you have some meaning. Some people do not enjoy volunteering. I understand that. Remember, you can be alone for the holidays and not have to feel lonely. You don't have to be depressed. And if you feel like you're missing out on the ideal holiday Hallmark scene, it helps to be brought back to reality. For most families, holidays are often a time of stress combined with a time of togetherness. It's not all flowers and sunshine, and some people absolutely dread getting together with their families because of their family expectation of togetherness. That's only part of the problem, and many of you just...
Yeah, so that was Armand discussing being alone on the holidays.
Yeah, we had to bring that out a little quick because it was going into a separate segment that he was doing with, I think, phone calls back then, right?
Yep.
But, I mean, what he's talking about is really interesting, because we don't think about doing this. We don't think about being alone on the holidays. You say, okay, well, what am I going to be? Am I going to be with my group of friends? Am I going to be with my family? Am I going to be with my significant other? What will I be doing this holiday? Because it will be spent with someone else. And what happens when you spend that alone? I mean, really, what does happen? I mean, a lot of the time, I think when you're forced to, which is most of the time, the reason why people will spend it alone, I think it ends up becoming a very stressful kind of experience, because you're thinking, oh, what's everybody else doing? What am I missing out on? Am I depressed because I can't make it, and I'm just by myself on this holiday? And I think Armand definitely was going towards a point where you need to get out of the house and do something in the environment of the holidays. I think perhaps maybe not on New Year's Eve, which is quite crazy in New York City, but on Christmas, for example, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, I mean, if you go outside and you just walk around and take a moment to just appreciate the kind of cheer that exists in the environment around you, I think that's a huge deal. If you're not going to volunteer at a food bank, maybe just walk through a holiday fair and smell the scents that lie there and see all the kind of beautiful... I mean, it's not going to be snowing this Christmas because it's going to be 72 degrees.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
But, you know, wear a T-shirt outside this Christmas.
But, I do love this time of year, that piney Christmas tree smell.
Absolutely.
And it's, like, everywhere.
There must be a place in our brains that releases a little bit of dopamine when we smell the pine. Because I remember I got a scented candle that was
smelled like that,
pine scented, and I got it like in the summertime or something. And I was like, what is this is weird. And then I took a sniff of it and I was like, oh my God. And it brought me right back to the holidays.
Yeah.
And there's a cheerfulness that comes along with not only the people in the holidays, but also the environment that comes about, the context that holidays kind of lie in.
You know, you bring up New Year's Eve, Julian, and that for me, on a personal level, is the hardest holiday and the one that I get most anxious around.
There's a lot of stress to do something epic or something big, because you've got this ball dropping, the whole year is coming to an end, and you have to spend it with everybody yelling and counting down. And
I mean, on a personal level, my New Year's Eves used to be very predictable because I would spend them in the same exact way, mm-hmm. right?
What would you do?
Every year, I would go to a birthday party on New Year's Eve, and that was my best friend turned, you know, his birthday was on New Year's Eve every year. And just under 3 years ago, he died. And so now, you know, New Year's Eve has this new meaning for me.
Mm-hmm.
And who I surround myself on that day, it's something that I really think about a lot. And something that, you know, it's taken on sort of a sadder tone.
Have you been spending the New Year's Eves alone, or have they been with other people?
Well, in general, I've been, you know, since he passed, I've spent a couple New Year's with his family. Because, you know, it always used to be sort of this double celebration, his birthday as well as New Year's. But, you know, for me, that's like the hardest part of the holiday season, is going through that, because, you know, I still miss him a lot. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's just a sad, you know, sad thing that I have to grapple with. And I wonder, you know, out there, when we start taking your calls, if any of you have, you know, difficult associations with specific holidays, whether it's a loss or a traumatic event that happened.
Yeah, and is there perhaps a way that you can transform that holiday, that experience, into something new and productive and constructive? Because, I mean, you know, that's a great idea. Spending it with his family is a beautiful thing. You end up being there, you know, being a body in their house with them on that day, and I feel like that's so valuable.
Yeah. So we're going to be taking your calls later in the show. Again, this is The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York. I'm Ben Starr in the studio along with Julian Gioiello. We're doing our last show before Christmas, and we wanted to talk about the experience and phenomenon of being alone during the holidays.
You know, there's a website called Loner Wolf. Because I was looking around a lot. We always do a lot of research on the internet and peruse a little bit before, just to see what's out there. And there's this website called Loner Wolf that's all about being alone, doing everything alone, being confident, supporting yourself, and allowing yourself to relax and be stress free and live life in a way that you feel comfortable with yourself. Which is, and it's cool. And it's kind of humorous too. And they have a list of 51 things to do on Christmas alone, which I thought was pretty funny, and I grabbed a couple of the ones that were a little less ridiculous. One that starts off that really makes a lot of sense to me is search for the loneliest looking person in town and give them a present. Now, this is something interesting. There's actually there's a phenomenon, I forget what it was called. There's a phenomenon in America of this small group of people that actually they do the opposite of pickpocketing. They put gifts into people's bags, which is kind of weird.
That's amazing.
But apparently it's like a really, like, there's a couple people that are addicted to it. I was reading about it, and it's an addiction to put something in, to have the rush of them not noticing.
Right, it's
that
the,
you're putting
it's the
something
sort of
in.
The sneaky aspect, but right. It's not a negative.
They'll
sneaky.
Put like an apple or like, I mean, not like a poisoned apple, you know?
A 24 like, carat watch.
Right, yeah, like, or some kind of gift. And I mean, that's the extreme version, but I mean, I don't know if you've ever actually spent the time to just, you know, get a flower or some kind of sweet little gift that's a beautiful physical material thing, and just found somebody on the street to give it to. I remember when Armand was in the hospital and I was visiting him, there was a bunch of flowers. I mean, you know, you can imagine Armand's hospital room was, you know, a boundless flowers.
It was a veritable botanical garden in there.
Yes, there was basically, you know, the botanical garden moved into the hospital room. And he looked at me and he said, Julian, pick one of those flowers. And I said, okay. And there are these little, I forget what they're called, and little daisies or something like that. And they're very pretty. And I was like looking through them, thinking, you know, what is this experience he's trying to do? Why am I doing this? Which one's the best? And I finally chose one particularly beautiful one. It was a little damaged on the side, but quite beautiful. And I said, this one. And he said, okay. So, you know, you're going to head out now. And I want you to take that and go outside and find the loneliest looking person or the saddest looking person, perhaps a beautiful girl. He said, look at me, because I was newly single at the time. and find a perhaps beautiful girl or somebody who's in a sad place and give this flower to them and tell them that they're beautiful. And so I walked out and I'm sitting there and I've got all this tumultuousness of Armand being in the hospital and what is this experience he wants me to do? What does this mean? What is the meaning behind all this?
Were you nervous about doing it?
I was nervous about doing it.
Sure.
I would see somebody and be like, oh God, yeah. I don't want to be weird. And
I can imagine.
So I'm standing outside the train station over near the hospital where also Armand was living near there. And I'm standing there for like maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Which hospital was it?
It was over by, not Mount Sinai. It was the one on 77th Street.
Okay, Lenox Hill.
Yeah, Lenox Hill.
So you're right there at 77th and
right.
Lexington.
Yeah, right outside the 6th train station. I'm standing there, if you can visualize this, and it's quite a busy street. It's an Upper East Side street. And I'm holding this flower. I'm standing there kind of nervous. I'm holding this flower. And I'm an actor, too. I should be fine with this. But
sure.
I all of a sudden, I was like, you know, 4 years old or something. You know what I mean? And I'm shaking. And finally, there's this one girl who's running down the street. I mean, like almost sprinting, and she's crying.
In a panic.
And she's quite beautiful, but you know, in that kind of you want to view this, you know, what's happening to her. I don't know what's happening, what situation she's in. And I was like, okay, got to do this right now. And I hop out, and I don't scare her, but I say, oh, hey, sorry, I have a question to ask you. And I said, actually, I don't have a question to ask you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to give you this flower. And she's like, okay. And she's looking at me and she's kind of teary because whatever was happening, maybe something happened with her family. And I said, and by the way, I think you're beautiful. And I hope that everything works out.
You're such a charmer.
And she just kind of looked at me and she said, thank you. Thank you. And she stopped running. She just walked off and she was looking down at this flower. And I walked in the train like nervously and red faced. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to get on the train before she comes on the train with me. And
yeah.
And there was this moment where you realize that for that person, this experience must have been crazy. I mean, just a crazy experience. Like, imagine you're running down the street and, I don't know, you just broke up with your ex or you know,
or
somebody,
who knows?
Somebody's in the hospital or, you know, you've had a horrible fight and you dropped out of school, whatever. Something.
Imagine. I mean, it was crazy for you and you knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Right?
I knew
she,
it was going to happen.
She had this experience out of the blue.
Right. And then I'm sitting there and she's probably walking off and saying, you know, things are going to be okay for a moment. And if you're not going to volunteer at a food bank this Christmas, perhaps if you're alone, try getting a couple of flowers and finding people that need them. I think that was a great thing to do. And for me, it was also a great experience too. It wasn't only for the other person. I mean, I enjoyed that also. It gave me this this experience to have, and it was quite valuable.
And, you know, as cliched as it is, it really is true that giving is an unbelievable feeling. It really is. Giving is just something that, I don't know. I think when you give to others, when I give to others, I feel it very acutely inside myself.
Absolutely.
I feel like I've almost given myself something. And, you know, that's the experience that he wanted you to have in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think Armand totally thought it through. He was like, oh, you know, this is going to be the one moment when Julian decides to become a man or something, you know, nothing like that. But I think he just knew that there was value in the experience that lied ahead with this flower and this kind of thing. And I would find something in it. And for all of those listening, for you, it'll be a different experience. I'm not saying it's going to be the same thing, but what happens is you get to this really vulnerable place when you're sitting there talking to this random person you don't know. You get a very vulnerable and kind of intimate kind of place, but there's nothing bad that's going to happen. You're just offering a gift to somebody who needs it, and or somebody who would appreciate it. And for them, it becomes this experience, and for you, it becomes this experience, and I think it's very valuable to have. So,
you know, speaking of giving, something that I always think about and reflect on this time of year, there was a man in Kansas City who was very wealthy, and pretty sure he was alone. Pretty sure he was, if not alone, that he was a lonely man. And he had a lot of money. And one thing that he would do around this time of year was that he would go to places like, he'd go to the mall, he'd go to neighborhoods where people were struggling financially, and he would dress up in this full Santa outfit with the beard, you know, completely in character, and he would just walk up to people and hand them a few $100. And it's unbelievable. I mean, I watched, you know, some reports on this guy, and I saw a video of him.
Is
doing
it YouTube?
This.
A YouTube guy in Chicago? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's in Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City.
And he was all over the news.
Uh-huh.
There were years where no one even knew his identity. Mm-hmm. You know, this was just a guy. He wasn't doing it for notoriety or fame. It was a thrill for him. And when you mention the people who, you know, place gifts in people's pockets or baskets without being noticed, it kind of reminded me of that. This guy got a thrill out of dressing up as Santa and going out and just handing people a few $100 at a time. And he was, you know, was a very wealthy man, so he could afford to do it. But it brought him great joy. And it was unbelievable to see the reactions and how touched people were.
Right.
I mean, some of them brought me to tears.
Yeah,
it was really
powerful.
I
mean, this reminds me of a YouTube video that I saw. There was a guy in Chicago who would, he wasn't well off. He just had, like, you know, let's say I have $100 extra this Christmas, this holiday season. He bought a couple cards and you know, wrote happy holidays in them and, you know, you're loved, and put $20 in each one. And he had five of them, and he would drive around and look for people that really, really were on the, you know, the bad end of the stick for the holidays. You know, perhaps they were homeless or just really sad about something. And he would just give them a gift, and he'd say, look, you know, it's not a lot, but this is something that you deserve and that I want to give to you. And again, that valuable experience of giving to somebody, especially somebody you don't know, it becomes, it's just such a surprise to them, and it becomes such a vulnerable place for you that this experience is so valuable. And I can't, you know, I want to do it every year because it just brings so much excitement to me and to people. It gives them just such a great feeling.
You know, I just looked up the Secret Santa Claus in Kansas City that I mentioned. For anyone who wants to look this up, it's a really unbelievable story. The guy's name is Larry Stewart, and he'd passed away in 2007. But from 1979 to 2006, he would do this every Christmas season. So that's like over 25 years where he would anonymously give people money, and he kept his identity anonymous. Right, it was like he kept himself anonymous because he wasn't doing it for, you know, recognition. It just brought him pleasure because, when he was down on his luck, a guy who owned a diner gave him a free dinner, and it inspired him to really, you know, show random acts
of
kindness.
So you can think that this random act of kindness for you can become sort of a catalyst for everybody else to kind of give to other people too. I mean, I can imagine that maybe the girl who got that flower that day said, okay, wow, this is such a valuable thing. I should do this for other people, and maybe did it to somebody else and help change their life in a little way. And I think it does give us meaning. I mean, personally, I find a lot of, you know, purpose in making other people feel good and feel comfortable and feel safe and know that there are good people in the world. And I think that's a very important thing to do. And where was this guy giving out the...
In Kansas City, but so, apparently he'd been doing it for so long, and he came to New York after 9/11.
Oh, wow, okay.
And did what he could to help people here. But a very interesting story. Again, if you want to Google that and read more, his name was Larry Stewart. And
Larry Stewart.
He revealed his identity when he was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and he knew that he didn't have much time left. And that's when he decided to no longer be anonymous and... you know, share what he had been doing and tell his story. So it's a very interesting story.
That's great. Yeah, and then, you know, down the list of a couple more things you can do while you're alone this holidays, if you decide to be alone or if you end up alone, three good deeds would make you happy. You know, any kind of deeds that, I mean, not only a gift, but perhaps, you know.
Random act of kindness.
Random act of kindness of some kind to help somebody who needs help. You know, build something for somebody else. Do something with your hands, which is really, I think, a valuable experience, too. Not a lot of people do that in this modern day. There's one here that says, try to set a world record and email Guinness World Records when you achieve it. So maybe there's a world record that hasn't been set yet, or maybe you're very, 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 very good at a very strange
thing.
Well,
a lot of those world records are just so incredibly specific and complicated.
Very esoteric kind of things. Yeah, like, you know, who can drink 3 cups of water in 4 seconds? It's like, okay, well, okay, that's a very specific amount of water. I mean, that's not a real one, but...
I'm sure it could be.
I am sure that's you'd have thing. A lot of fun challenging yourself. And
if you're creative enough, you can invent your own record. And if as long as you can verify it, you know Guinness will put you in the book of records.
Absolutely. Another one here, number 41 on the Loner Wolf 51 things to do on Christmas. If you're alone, reassess your daily routine and 20 alternative ways to do what you normally do and put them into practice. So, I mean, I don't know, 20 is a lot, but think about what you would, you know, what do you do every day? How can you do it better, or how can you do it in a different way that makes you happier or makes you start the day off better? Or, you know, maybe think about the way that you walk home. You know, what can you walk by that will smell better and look better? And I don't know. Who knows? I personally like being constructive with my life. So if something comes along and say, okay, well, I always eat a egg and cheese in the morning with this bagel, plain bagel. Maybe I'll make some oatmeal. Who knows? I don't know. Change it up.
Well, you know something, Julian? I just want to say before we hit the break, I'm very thankful this holiday season, not only for the opportunity to work with you, because it's something I really enjoy and I look forward to, but also for the opportunity that you know, WBAI gives us to have the freedom to explore these kind of topics and discuss subjects like we did yesterday, you know, what it means to be human. I mean, think about it. We're right here in the middle of the FM dial, sandwiched between some giant commercial stations that right now are probably advertising car sales and last minute Christmas shopping lists
for kids.
You know, and playing songs that people have heard, you know, 1,000 times. And here we are, and we get to explore, and really we get to connect with those of you out there, and we want to hear from you, and we want you to become part of this discussion. So we're going to play some music, and while we do that, we'd love for you to give us a call at 212-757-5555. And again, you know, it's great to be here, Julian, and it's been a crazy year.
It has
for
it has
us
been
here.
Quite an intense year for us.
And,
but
you know, I've been privileged and honored to have experienced it with you.
Oh, thank you, man. And
yeah.
I feel the same way. It's a great time coming in here every week and just talking about what we want to talk about, which is exciting to us, and kind of letting Armand guide us a little bit through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So here's a little bit of music, and here's a little bit of music from a song you might recognize, but you might not recognize this song unless you listened to it back in the 70s.
Some peace. you're still my brother. Everybody wants to live together. Why can't we live together?
And that was Why Don't We Live Together by Timmy Thomas. And I don't know if you recognize that backtrack, the little drum beat in there. If you've listened to the song Hotline Bling by Drake, he actually samples that song. And I was listening to Hotline Bling. I said, whoa, that beat is so good. And my sister sent me this song and said, oh, you have to listen to it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a huge hit on the R&B charts in the early 70s.
Yes.
And now it's been brought back in a new reiteration, and I've read an interview with him, and he's actually really pleased that, you know, the song was sampled, and he's actually, you know, thankful.
Quite beautiful.
It's great.
So today, if you're listening to The Positive Mind, if you're just tuning in, I'm Julian Joiello and Ben Starr here in the studio, of course, and we're talking about being alone on the holidays and what that might be like and what you can do to just make sure that that's a valuable experience. And we actually have Cherry on the line. Cherry, you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Hi there.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. I want to say thank you for keeping Almond's memory alive. I received a call once from him, and I felt like I became famous from that day on. And also, what you guys are talking about in terms of helping someone, I tried doing that in the summer, and I had such a great time doing that this summer.
In the summertime?
Every time I was driving and I saw somebody selling water, frozen, you know, ice water at the lights.
Right.
And I would give them a 10 or a 20, and you should see the joy on their faces. And then one day I gave to a kid who was selling water, and he kept looking at that bill. He thought it was counterfeit.
That's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I always see them selling water. You know, they're making ends meet by selling the water, and I love that you can kind of identify those people. And so, what are you going to do this Christmas?
This Christmas, I'm spending it with my mom alone. My mom is 84. She has Alzheimer's, and I've been taking care of her. I actually really enjoy it. And what I did, I wanted to go to Haiti for the first time to have Christmas in Haiti this year, because I sponsor orphanage, and knowing that I couldn't afford the ticket because it was going to be so expensive, I went to for Thanksgiving instead, and I bought 70 pounds of turkey, and we had a big Thanksgiving for 70,
wow,
to about 80 people.
Wow.
We had a good time, and it was a surprise because they didn't know I was coming. And as far as I'm concerned, that was my Christmas. So I can't wait for the new year to start, because I felt like I couldn't afford anything for the holidays. So my Thanksgiving was my Christmas. So emotionally, I don't feel overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's going to be just another regular day.
That's really touching. And
and that would be it.
I'm so glad to have heard from you today, because I don't know, you just put a big smile on my face. It's great to hear, you know, that you're doing good. And, you know, I'm sorry that you weren't able to make it to Haiti, but I think that, you know, the New York area is better off to have you. You know, we're better off for having you around, and we, you know, It's just great to hear, you know?
I'm grateful because we did go for Thanksgiving. So to me, it was like I had my Christmas ahead of everyone.
Absolutely.
That's how I felt. And it's such a joy to listen to both of you.
Well, it's a joy to hear from you.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And, if you don't have a gift to give to somebody, just say hello or, say happy holidays to somebody on the street if you want.
It's not every show, Julian, that we get a caller that's just as positive and
uplifting as
she was. And I'd really appreciate that. Because she was so full of just positive energy and just good vibes, man.
Absolutely. And for those who want to bring some positive vibes or any kind of vibes our way, 212-757-5555. We actually have somebody on the line. It's on hold on a different line. If you can hang that line up and call us again, we'd love to take your call. I think your phone call got lost amongst the office lines here.
There's an overlap that happens when a bunch of people call at once and calls get routed to different lines. So if you're out there, if you're on hold, go ahead and hang up, call us back at 212-757-5555. And we're really hitting the home stretch of the holiday season. I mean, we'll be back next week. Right before New Year's for our final two shows of 2015.
Absolutely. And to bring it to a close, we want to, really hopefully have some exciting stuff to talk to you about. And we'd love to hear from all of our callers to see what their experience was like this year.
Absolutely. This was a very, very long and very action-packed year, especially, as I had mentioned earlier, for us here at the Positive Mind, of course. We lost Armand right at the beginning of the summer. And that was a huge change and a huge transition for us to deal with. And, not to mention, everyone goes through different personal things. And, outside of here, I lost a job. I got a new job, beyond the Positive Mind. I've been through a lot on my own level. I know, Julian, personally, you've been through a lot. And I know everyone out there listening, it was a very, very intense year for a lot of us.
It has been.
In many ways, I'm so excited. Like Cherry said, I'm just so excited to see what 2016 will bring. I really feel like at the end of this year, Julian, an optimism that I haven't felt in a long time going into a new year. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to and excited for
Absolutely.
What the new year brings.
Yeah, and if you want to bring some happiness to some other people, just find a simple gift or just say, give a greeting to somebody you see on the street. I mean, if you can get a flower and let somebody know who really needs it, that they're beautiful. And we have Santa actually on the line. Santa, how you doing?
Hi.
Amazing.
I'm doing fine.
You spoke
about the act. I hope I don't get too emotional, but I can't tell you the story. But random acts of kindness.
Sorry about that. Santa, can you lower your radio in the background just so that we can.
Sure. Hold on one second. I'm very sorry.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize you could hear it.
It's going to echo through here.
Sorry. It's two rooms
Perfect.
Away from me, so I didn't think you would even hear it.
No, it's amazing.
But anyway,
the radio
echo. My father was a World War II veteran. And when I was a kid, my father used to only go into Manhattan for Christmas because mm-hmm. that's when there was, free activities. You go see the tree, the ice skaters, and all that stuff. He was a laborer, so there was really never any money. But, excuse me.
No, it's okay. Take your time.
Every time we were in Manhattan, we would stop at the foot of the Manhattan Bridge. And at the foot of the Manhattan Bridge, years ago, there would be all the homeless men that would be lined up against the walls. And everybody sort of like knew they were just alcoholics or whatever. And they were just homeless men just lined up. And he would jump out of the car at the light. He would have to shut off the ignition, take the keys to open the trunk. And he'd pull out all these clothes. And my brothers and I would say, oh, my God, Ma, he's nuts. What is he doing? And he would be going to bring his clothes to
wow.
these men. So
wow.
when he would get back in the car and we would question him, he would say to us, those are my soldier buddies that came back from the war and weren't as lucky as me.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm clear enough to understand, but we learned, especially my brothers and I, to, you know, to give up ourselves, to volunteer, and, you know, always try to help people that have less than we did. I'm sorry I got emotional.
No, it's beautiful. I think your father had a big heart, and it's true that there's a very strong bond that men forge with each other when they have experiences like going to war together.
Yeah, and not only just with that, but I mean, what a beautiful thing to kind of have that kind of energy for both you and your brother, you said, in the car to kind of have that experience. I mean, really, really beautiful. And, you know, it's not just about, you know, giving money to somebody else, but perhaps something of your own that you value, but you feel will help someone else more than yourself. And I think that's a really beautiful idea.
He was a factory worker. He never had it. We never had any money.
Right.
He used to tell us he made 7 cents a coat, whatever that meant. And the only thing he could do was give his cast-off clothes to these people. And so that's what he did. And it was just like an incredible thing for us to watch and learn from.
Unbelievable. I think he sounds like he was a great man and with a big heart. And I think you're very fortunate and blessed to have experienced that.
Yeah, but thank you so much for sharing that with us. You didn't have to do that. And, you know, thank you for being here and being vulnerable with us here on the radio.
And thank you for your show.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to listen to you. I have you on automatic, so the radio goes on.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Same to you. Happy New Year. Beautiful story. Took a lot of courage to share that.
Yeah, seriously. That was really beautiful. And if we can learn anything from that, if it's not, if it's not money like the guy from Kansas City, or it's not a flower of some kind, if you have anything extra that you have that, you know, perhaps, you know, you don't need as much anymore, or, you know, even just a couple of extra clothes or a jacket of some kind, give it to somebody who needs it a little bit more, and it might help both of you out in a way that you might not imagine.
Yeah, it's a powerful story, Julian, and I was getting a little choked up myself listening to it. You know, just picturing this man who's you know, works very hard and doesn't necessarily have a whole lot to give, going out of his way to take care of others and look after others. Beautiful story. And I want to thank San again for sharing that with us. Once again, number to call here, 212-757.
Yeah, and actually, 5555, 212-757-5555. And actually, her name was Santa, but it was spelled Santa. So we have a little bit of a serendipitous kind of thing going on there. I think perhaps her father's experience and want to give maybe inspired that name. Thank you so much for calling in, Santa, and Cherry from earlier. And now we have Justin on the line. Justin, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good.
So nice to hear from you. So what's your feelings on all this? What are you going to be doing this holiday?
I'm actually doing doubles tomorrow. I'm working tomorrow and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Where do you work?
And I'm totally cool with it. And, you know, I guess what I wanted to chime in today, thank you guys for being here live. I'm finding a lot of comfort in listening to your show, so I really appreciate
you
guys.
Appreciate that, Justin.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to chime in and talk about, you know, for me, I'm 46, I've done a shitload of personal growth. And I just want to chime in and talk about, you know, the difference between feeling lonely and feeling shame. Because I know in the past, around this time, if I didn't have much going on or, you know, any sort of family-oriented holiday, it took me a while to figure out I would feel a level of shame over the loneliness, and so it would feel twice as bad. And I don't feel that shame anymore. I feel a little bit of loneliness, but it's just nice to know that clarity right now.
Justin, where do you work? Or what do you do?
I'm a TV editor. I edit TV news.
Okay.
Yeah. That must be a very interesting experience to kind of be in a room on your own watching all of these people talk about all kinds of casualties of life most of the time, right, on news?
Yeah, it's hard to, I don't know. I mean, I kind of have to like cloak my language because I work for one of the big three network, and I'm not really spiritually aligned with what they're doing. So, in a nutshell, it's basically, you know, they're not you guys. They're not WBAI, and they're just kind of, in my opinion, just sort of, you know, it's business as usual, you know, just sort of really out of the ordinary.
It's great to have you on this station, too, Justin. So,
let me see one other thing, too, is that, you know, at least for me, in my opinion, you know, Christmas is mostly just a, to me right now, I think of it as just a cultural hallucination. You know, Christmas has nothing to do with my soul, my being as a human on the planet. And to me, I can't plug in. I just know that there are other things, there are other people, other philosophies, other, you know, my spirituality has nothing to do with this time of the year. And I know that I think for me, it just feels like a major mind F, you know, that, oh, this holiday is supposed to be about family. And again, it plugs back into the whole shame thing. It's
so,
like,
Justin,
oh, something might be wrong with me. So,
you deal with it by jumping into work.
Just, you know, see that, like, I'm just disconnecting from all that.
And Justin, what you do, it sounds like, is you deal with it by jumping head first into work. And like you said, working two doubles, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a strategy, folks. That's a strategy as well. And everyone is going to deal with it differently. And I understand, Justin, based on what you said, that, you know, it's not a time that has necessarily that connects for you. And so what you do is, you know, you go all in and you work two doubles. And I respect that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Thanks for the call, Justin. We want to try to get a couple more in. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. And we have, what, maybe time for
seven, 8 minutes left. Let's get a couple more calls in. I see our lines flashing. Make sure to call back if you're on hold because you may be on one of those extra lines here. We have just one line to this studio direct. So
yeah. So if you're on hold out there, just hang up and call us back at 212-757-5555. I want to hear about what you're doing for this holiday season, if you're spending it alone. Maybe you've spent holidays alone in the past, or maybe the holidays, you know, like Justin just said, are not a special time for you. Maybe it's not something you connect with. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. And that, once again, the last time I'm going to say it, maybe not the last time, because I love our number. It's so symmetrical. 212-757-5555. Don is on the line.
Don, hey, how's it going? Actually, I remember your name and your voice from several shows with Armin that we did over the last couple of years. I remember you've called in, right?
Yes, I have, yeah.
So great to hear you again.
It was wonderful to have Armin to speak to and you fellows to speak to. I remember that, yeah.
So
I just want to say happy holidays to everybody and to you especially, and thank you for staying on the air.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for staying around and calling back today.
Yeah, we have to thank our listeners for keeping us on the air, really.
Well, it's a very good show. I enjoy listening to the people. My heart goes out to the people for their and their bravery for calling up. It's great. You know, I never even had an idea of what caused Armand to pass. Are you willing to speak on that or no?
Say that again?
Do you know what the reason for Armand passing on was?
I mean, yeah, I was there while he was in the hospital throughout the whole experience, and between a mixture of things with lung complications and pneumonia, actually, it kind of became, you know, it's strange. It wasn't a normal kind of experience where something bad happened and it made this whole thing happen. It was more of a choice from Armand. I mean, you know, he did have pneumonia and he did have these complications with his lungs, but I think it was time. Armand had always kind of said how exciting, I mean, his last words were how exciting, but how exciting he believed death was, and a new experience. And as everybody knows listening right now, Armand really valued both the past, the present, and the future, and kind of what lied ahead. And even if what lied ahead was death, that was exciting to him too. And so it was this kind of strange choice on Armand's end. I mean, there were complications, and they were, you know, quite lethal. But it was kind of a time that he decided on.
Well, thank you for being so candid.
No,
it was a shock for me. And but you fellas keep on the legacy, and I really think it's great that you're on the air doing his thing and doing your thing now.
Thank you, Ed.
And it's just the time of year where, you know, I felt like I'd have to call up and ask because it was starting to get to me.
Yeah, Don, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope that can give you a little bit more of an image of what happened. And you know, it was very peaceful, and you know, we really went out with a party. I mean, I don't know if you've heard the original programs when we first did a couple programs after he passed away. We did programs just to sort of summarize what was happening and give everybody an idea. And in that hospital room at Lenox Hill, we were. There was a little bit of a party. Armand said, you know, make sure you get this flavor, this thing, and I want to share that with all of you and have all these people that I care about around. And so it wasn't like a slow, sad ending. It was kind of a beautiful bang, and he went out with a bang for sure.
Well, thank you very much for telling us all that, and have a wonderful New Year coming up, and everybody out there in the audience too.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much again for calling in.
Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year to you.
It's so good to hear from listeners, Julian. I don't know. I feel such a connection and such a respect and gratitude to our audience.
And
you guys are amazing.
I love seeing the listeners also kind of evolve, too. It's nice hearing from Don again, because I heard of, you know, and as I evolved, too, I think, on this radio station. I mean, I remember hearing him two years ago when I was just first starting off. Well, 3 years ago I started off with Armand. And we got one more call coming in here. One second.
Yeah, if you're on hold right now, or if the phone just keeps ringing, please just hang up and call us back at 757-5555. We have a situation with our main line where when there's an overflow, we can't get to the phone calls. It's kind of tough to deal with, but we'll make it work. Once again, if you're on hold, just go ahead and hang up and call back. We have Miss James on the line. Miss James?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I've been listening to Armand over the years, and I did not know he had passed until I heard you guys a couple of weeks ago, and I thank you for the show.
Thank you for listening.
There's been so much going on about the homeless, and we probably don't have enough time. These people not taking the vouchers, that's so cruel, you know, these landlords.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I don't know how much money they all need. And I am going to the Riverside Church, and the church provides shelter in the winter months, you know, in the gym. They put some beds down. And so my friend and I have been giving money to the young people, or the people who are sleeping at night around the church.
Well, bless you, Miss James.
Yeah, Miss James, you mentioned the vouchers. It's 80% of the vouchers are not being taken by landlords now, right?
No, yeah. And it's also happened in Washington, D.C., as per NPR radio.
Yeah, and these are rent vouchers for the homeless that are given to them so that they can find a place to live and kind of get their life back into order, right?
Right. And they are making judgments about them, even the veterans who may be a little depressed or, you know, have some challenges. And I don't think it's fair that man should do this to man.
Well, if there's a silver lining in all of it, you know, it's that it hasn't been a very cold season. And for those, you know, people who are unfortunately stuck outside, it's been pretty mild.
Yeah.
So maybe,
you know.
These
people around Riverside Church that we go to for Bible studies, when the wind comes from the Hudson River there, it can get very cold.
I'm sure it can.
Absolutely.
I mean, the church is doing whatever it can, you know, to help them. But I feel so bad when I leave there in the evening. God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's only so much you can do sometimes if you're spending your time volunteering. You know, we had Santa bring up her father's experience of stopping at the red light and hopping out and grabbing all of his extra clothes. I mean, if you don't have anything else to give, not only to you, Miss James, but to everybody else listening out there, you know, whatever you can give, we'll
even your time.
We'll create a beautiful place for those who need it.
Yeah, and I need to bring some blankets for this guy, and I talked to him, and then I didn't see him anymore. I don't know where he is, but
well, hopefully he took that blanket off and he walked off.
I keep it in the car, so if I see him again.
Okay, yeah. And thank you so much for contributing that way, and thank you so much for calling. Actually, we're going to bring this program to a close today.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
Thank you so much, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And to all our callers today for being very brave and talking to us today, I very, very beautiful group of people. Thank you so much to Cherry, Santa, Justin, Don, and Miss James for joining us in this conversation. And if you can get a flower or a coat or something to give to somebody who needs it, and really spend the time, it's a great experience to kind of watch people and see who might need it. Really valuable experience. Go to thepositivemind.com if you want to listen to our archives or the podcast on iTunes. You can find us by...
Send us an email, too.
Yeah, emailing us at positivemind@wbai.org. Tune in every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. for The Positive Mind. I'm Julian Joiello and Ben Starr, of course.
Can't wait. Next week, last two shows of 2015. Can't believe we're already at the end of the year.
We'll take it out with a bang. And a little bit more of Jungle Bells for you on this outro.